Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Would you pray with me this morning as we continue in worship? Lord Jesus, because you live, today is a celebration. Today is worship of a resurrected King and Savior, Christ Jesus. Because you live. Friday, the darkness of that day when evil seemed to do its worst, was not the end of the story. Because he lives. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the hope that that gives us today. We can face tomorrow because you live. May we ever live into that reality as we experience your resurrected life living in and through us in our world today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Hey, as you're seated this morning, just want to make sure everybody had a chance that wants one to grab a rock from the back. We're going to kind of interact with these throughout the service, and by interact, I do not mean throw at the person speaking this morning. But thank you so much for joining us in worship. Our kids are having an awesome time back in Kid City with an egg hunt, but if you missed that, you want to join in, you can grab one of the leaders in the back, and they'll make sure you get connected there with all the good stuff happening in Kid City today. My name is Jared. I get to serve here as the campus pastor along with my family. Here's a quick picture just to introduce you to them. This is one of my favorite river baptism memories. That's my wife, Ashley, and that's our daughter, Eliza, after she was baptized in the river last year. So between my love of fishing and the outdoors and the river in general and all the cool stuff we've gotten to experience as a church family, I really don't want you to miss that invitation. I know it's in August. That seems like forever from now, but it'll be here before you know it. But I would encourage you to go ahead and put that Sunday specifically in your calendar and plan to join us again as we worship and then head over to the river and celebrate. It might be the biggest potluck you've ever seen in your life, which is incentive of its own. But from those summertime memories to Easter Sunday, I would tell you I'm a little concerned or nervous today. Never before have we given every single person something to throw. I'm not exactly sure what we were thinking. It really seemed like a good idea at the time. And so I am wondering what you're going to do with these stones. I can just imagine someone's thinking, man, this is great. I've never been to a church where they give you rocks to throw at the preacher if he gets long-winded. All right? As convenient as that might be, these are not for throwing. These are actually a tangible reminder of the story of Jesus. It reminds us of the stone that was rolled in front of the grave, in front of the tomb on Good Friday as Jesus' lifeless body was placed there to rest. It's a reminder for us this morning that the stone was rolled away on the morning of the resurrection just before Jesus encountered Mary Magdalene. This stone really reminds us of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4. There the scripture tells us, "For I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." That's what this is all about. And so can I ask you this morning, what are you going to do with that stone? The death and resurrection of Jesus. Let's pray this morning. Lord Jesus, we would just ask you today to apply your word to our hearts and our lives. Lord, in your way, would you confront us with the question, what are we going to do with the stone that's been rolled away? With the story, the reality of your death and resurrection. So, Holy Spirit, will you come and search our hearts today? Draw us closer to you that we might say yes to you as our Savior King. In Jesus' name, amen. Together as a church family, we're in a teaching series called Encounters. We're looking at different stories in the Bible where people encounter Jesus personally and one-on-one. And today, we're looking at Jesus' encounter with Mary Magdalene on Resurrection Sunday, the first Easter morning. We want to see, what did this encounter mean for Mary, and what does it mean for our lives today? We need to understand Mary a little bit. We need to get to know her as we jump into the story. We first encounter her in the Gospels in Luke chapter 8. We read there in verse 2 that Jesus had healed Mary from evil spirits and infirmities. It tells us specifically that 7 demons were cast out of her life. And that's really all we know about her background. She was once in darkness, living with demonic presence in her life, but an encounter with Jesus was all it took. Her life was completely changed forever. How about yours? How about your life today? It's important for us not to miss this truth this morning, that your past, your sin, anything that we have done wrong, nothing can disqualify us from encountering Jesus. That's a beautiful truth for us to remember as we continue in our encounter story today. We're going to pick up this encounter in John chapter 20. The text will be on the screen. You can follow along in your copy of Scripture, and there's a YouVersion event created if you're a Bible app user. But John chapter 20, beginning at verse 1, it says, "Early in the morning of the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb." To join Mary in the story, in this encounter, we need to understand that she was going there Sunday morning with zero expectation of Jesus being alive. Even though Jesus had very specifically told his disciples that he would rise on the third day, it was nowhere in the front of their minds or their hearts that Easter morning. We have to remember, for Mary, the last time that she saw Jesus, he was dead. He was dead. It was on the evening of Good Friday as she witnessed his lifeless body being placed in the tomb with the large stone being rolled in front of the entrance. That stone on Friday had to feel like the end of her world. That stone, no doubt, that night felt hopeless and heavy. And she carried that same feeling with her on Sunday as she goes back to see the tomb where Jesus was, perhaps questioning whether God was really there or not. And I wonder this morning, have you ever encountered a time and a space in your life where you were asking those sorts of questions? In the early morning hours of March 23rd of this year, between 5 and 6 a.m., I'm sitting in our home in my normal spot with coffee and a Bible in hand. I'd done my normal reading and spent a few minutes being quiet with the Lord and writing some thoughts down in my prayer journal. And I don't remember today specifically what I was writing that morning or what exactly was going along, but as I'm penning and just jotting down some thoughts, the words Hannah Good came to my mind. Now, Hannah and I have known each other for a long time. She grew up in this church, and we've had some great conversations now that as she's an adult about life and faith, but never at 5:45 in the morning. But that word was too clear, and honestly, it was too random for me to ignore in that moment. And friends, some encounters with Jesus are just like that. So I picked up this very iPad at 5:45 and began to write a text. And here it is on the screen. I said, "Well, it's 5:45 a.m. I'm praying and writing in my journal, and two words came loudly to my mind, Hannah Good. Not sure why or what's happening in your world, but I know you were on the Lord's heart today and always. I'm here for you if you need a listener, friend. Grace and peace. He knows your name, Hannah Good. He has plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Say yes to his plans today, even if that means saying no to yours. His are always better. You are loved. Send." Before I can even close my iPad, I see the little reply bubble pop up. Y'all know what that, the three dots? And I'm thinking, oh, shoot, I've done woke this girl up at 5:45 in the morning. Well, it turns out she was already up. And a few minutes later, I get this response. She says, "This is absolutely insane. I've never woken up this early before, but I've been sitting here with my window open talking to God for about the last 30 minutes. I wasn't feeling the best this morning, and I kept asking for a sign that maybe I wasn't being ignored by Him. This message means the absolute world to me." You see, Hannah had questions that morning. A heavy heart that just needed to encounter Jesus, to know that she wasn't being ignored. And He was right there when she needed Him. I think that tells us a little bit of Mary's story as well. Some encounters we just won't see coming. And we don't have to have all of our stuff together. We don't have to have all of our emotions in check. We don't have to have all that together to encounter Jesus. We just simply need to call out to Him with as much faith as we have and wait for Him to move. It might even come through a random text message that I cannot explain to you today other than Jesus. Let's continue in Mary's story at verse 2. It says, "She ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, 'They've taken the Lord from the tomb and we don't know where they've put Him.'" Mary's only conclusion at the sight of the stone being rolled away is that someone has come and stolen the body of Jesus from the tomb. And so with this in mind, she runs to tell the other disciples. At verse 3, it says, "Peter and the other disciple left to go to the tomb. They were running together, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and was the first to arrive at the tomb. Bending down to take a look, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he didn't go in." The other disciple, as it's listed here, and he's not named, is believed to be John, the very one who's penning this gospel. He arrives at the tomb first, and he takes a look inside, but he doesn't go any further. Verse 6, "Following him, Simon Peter entered the tomb and saw the linen cloth lying there. He also saw the face cloth that had been on Jesus' head. It wasn't with the other clothes, but was folded up in its own place." And so here comes Peter bringing up the rear, and as he arrives, he goes right on in to see for himself. And he's there taking it all in. He's trying to process the evidence that's right in front of him. He's trying to figure out what this could mean. Verse 8, it says, "Then the other disciple, the one who arrived at the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed." They didn't yet understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to the place where they were staying. As John makes his way in, he sees the same evidence, but he sees beyond. He sees to what this means, that the orderly way these linens have been placed out, this was no grave robbery done in a hurry. This was a resurrection. This was a neatly ordered event. Jesus has resurrected. It says John, or the beloved disciple, saw and believed. And they must have been lost in their own thoughts because they simply turn away, leaving Mary at the tomb. They head back to where they were staying. Verse 11, Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she cried, she bent down to look into the tomb. She saw two angels dressed in white seated where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and one at the foot. The angel asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She replied, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put Him." Mary is still so upset that she's seemingly unfazed by the sight of two angels right before her. As the angels ask about her condition, her only reply is that someone has taken Jesus. She's still seeking Him. And that's all that matters. She's seeking him. And what comes next is Mary's encounter, the one that would change her life forever, the one that would change the world, and it would change you if you let it. Verse 14, as soon as she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. Now, we don't know why she didn't recognize him. Was it tear-filled eyes, the faint dawn of the morning light? Or was it simply because it was not possible in her mind that he would be there? We don't know. But she didn't recognize him. Jesus says to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, Mary replied, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will get him." Mary just wants Jesus back. Jesus says to her, "Mary." He spoke her name. She turned around and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. This is the encounter. This is the moment that changes everything for Mary. This has really blessed me this Easter season. I want you to think about this with me. Let's take a trip this morning. If you could snap your fingers and be anywhere in the world, where would you go? I want you to start pulling that location in your mind. No airport, no TSA line, no lame peanuts. You are just there. Where would you go? I mean, I could think of something like Yellowstone, like let's show up and go some trout fishing. Maybe we would go to the Caribbean and my wife could enjoy the beach and I could go fishing in the teal waters. I mean, there are lots of places that might come to our mind if we could just snap our fingers and be there. Now, let me ask you, did anyone for a moment envision that you would use that power to show up in a cemetery? Nobody? But that's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus does. Jesus has defeated sin, death, and conquered the powers of hell. He's back to life and can appear physically anywhere with just a thought. And he doesn't kick back on the beach for a week. He doesn't relax in heaven with God the Father and all the angels. He doesn't even parade down Jerusalem going, "Na, na, 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 I beat you." He doesn't do that. He shows up in a graveyard to encounter his friend Mary, who is confused, broken, and helpless. Friends, that is a picture of the God we serve. This is Jesus. And he's calling after you today. He's here. At the sound of Jesus calling her name, Mary recognizes that it's him. Her heart leaps for joy, and she bends down and grabs a hold of him. And Jesus says to her in verse 17, "Don't hold on to me, for I haven't yet gone up to my Father. Go to my brothers and my sisters and tell them, I'm going up to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene left and announced to the disciples, "I've seen the Lord." And then she told them what he had said to her. This encounter with Jesus categorically changed her life. Jesus is alive. That means there is hope. That means there is forgiveness of sin and hope for eternal life. This means he is still encountering us today. He's still encountering you and I today. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you can encounter the resurrected Lord for yourself? Do you believe that it can be true for you? This past Monday, I found myself killing some time at Walmart there on Burgess Road, Harrisonburg Crossing in town. We were going to a supper appointment with my wife's family, and I just had some extra time. And so I wanted to go look through the fishing section a couple minutes, okay? It just makes me happy. Don't judge me, all right? It was just the weariness of a Monday, and the fishing aisle might help. So I park out in the middle of the parking lot, and I can't really explain it to you, but something, as I'm getting out of the car, my heart just exhaled at the end of a long Monday, and I just, something said, I wonder if I can encounter the Lord at Walmart today. Because really, that's what I needed, not more fishing tackle. I'm for more fishing gear, but I really needed something else. Well, that thought kind of faded as I walked inside, and I don't know if you've been to Walmart lately, but it looked like the Easter Bunny, like, exploded inside the front door. You know, there's all different flavors of Peeps. I didn't even know Dr. Pepper flavor Peeps existed, but so they are. You can report back to me how that is, but I'm walking past all this, just kind of taking it in. Remember, I'm just killing time. And I thought, you know, I'm going to go over here and check the men's section and see. They used to have Dickies work pants. Man, I love those things. And so I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to go over and see if they still sell those. And I turn around the corner and start down an aisle, and I'm kind of like stopped in my tracks by this sight. A picture of a locked glass case. Now, I'm thinking in my mind, what on earth could be locked up in a glass case in the men's clothing section? Like, my brain is just not computing until I realize it's T-shirts and underwear. Now, I'm going to be honest. This broke my heart. And I'm not here to put shade on Walmart or even the person that felt like they needed to take underwear, but this upset me. Remember, it's been a long day. In my own hometown, underwear has to be locked up. And I'm not kidding you today. I stood right there and said to the Lord, you need to come back soon. We've had to start locking up the underwear. It's just where I was. Lord, we need you. We got to lock up the underwear. So I turned to leave this depressing site. I'm going to head on back to my happy place. And coming down the main aisle, out of nowhere, is a friend of mine named Natalie. And I hadn't seen her for a few months. The last time I saw her, she was in the throngs of fight and chemo. And she was sick. She wasn't feeling well. She had lost all her hair. It was the last time I saw her. But on Monday, coming down that aisle of Walmart, she was glowing. She had a head full of hair, a heart full of gratitude, and a clean bill of health from the doctors. And she was just overflowing with joy in the presence of Jesus right there in the middle of Walmart. And she's sharing with me how God had been so faithful in her life and how he had showed up for her in the midst of treatments, in the midst of all of these appointments. God was right there for her. And we got to talk several minutes uninterrupted there at Walmart, and we finally go to say our goodbyes, and she was going to pick up some stuff for the grandkids, and I was so blessed by that encounter, I didn't even go to the fishing section. That's how much it helped me. And I'm walking out of the store, and I just hear the Holy Spirit say, yes, you can encounter me in Walmart. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. The one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Even in Walmart. Even at 5:45 in the morning. He's there. He's there. As the band prepares to make their way forward, got your stone with you? As you hold that this morning, I really do want to know, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with this thing? Not really like, where are you going to put it? Are you going to leave it on your seat? I'm really not asking about the physical stone you're holding this morning. I'm asking, what are you going to do with the encounter with the story, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? What are you going to do with that stone today? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 13 and 14 says this. It says, if there is no resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. And then in verse 17, he says, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. You see, the question of the resurrection of Jesus, the question of what we do with this stone, the resurrection of Jesus, is the central claim of Christianity. Paul in Corinthians is saying, look, if that's not true, the whole rest of it is a wash. If Christ was not raised, we are still in our sins and our faith is futile. We should be pitied. And so what you and I choose to do with this stone and this story, this reality of the resurrected Jesus, is critically important today. Will we follow Mary's example? Will we cling to Jesus as he encounters us and follow him for a lifetime and beyond, or not? That's what's at stake today. You see, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that through his life, death, and resurrection, we can not only encounter him, we can not only run into him at Walmart, but yet we can know new life. Jesus, through his sufferings, through his death on the cross, made full payment for our sin, for mine and yours. And the Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Jesus came to deal with that. He came to forgive us from the penalty of sin and to free us from the power of sin in our life. And in his resurrection, the central truth that we celebrate today, he is validating his teaching. He's validating his victory over sin, death, and hell. And all of those who place their faith in him as a resurrected Lord will one day share in a resurrection like his. What a day that will be. And until then, we get to experience his life within us. Everywhere we go, we have the witness of his spirit, his life, alive within us. We are forgiven and free as children of God. That's what's at stake today. A life of hope, peace, and deep-seated joy in Jesus. So what will you do with this stone today? For some of you this morning, you've encountered Jesus a long time ago. Maybe you're living for him, you're in right relationship with him. Then I would challenge you this morning that you take the lead with Mary and that you go tell others about this good news of a resurrected Savior. Go and tell them. Go and share with others about what Jesus has done in your life, how an encounter with him has completely upended your world for the good. Maybe that's your call today. Maybe some of you are realizing that you have encountered Jesus lately. Maybe you just weren't exactly sure what these random events or what these things were all about, but today you sense the Holy Spirit saying, it's for you. Maybe some of the things the last couple weeks are just too random for you to ignore. Look, it's 2026. You don't just show up in a church on Sunday morning by accident. You're here for a purpose and a reason, and that's to encounter Jesus. And today, he's calling your name, and today it's time for you to place your faith in him, to believe with your heart and your mind that 2,000 years ago, Jesus, the Son of God, died for you to take the penalty of your sin, to break the power of sin in your life, and that he rose again on the third day, the day we celebrate today, and somehow that counts for you. That's faith. And you say, yes, Lord, please forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Lord, help me to build my life on your teaching, to build my life on the rock that is Christ Jesus. And still others, maybe you've known what this stone was about. Maybe you've believed, but if you were really honest, you haven't done anything with it. Like you maybe keep Jesus in a hip pocket for when things get a little dicey. You can pull it out and cry out. Look, do that. But the invitation is that we would make Jesus Lord. that we would surrender our life to Him, that we would say yes to Him in every area of our life, our everyday going to bed, waking up, eating, sleeping, going to work, life, surrender it to Him and His Lordship. Build your life on His teaching. Maybe today it's time to surrender. To get this off the shelf and put it at the center of your life as Jesus is Lord. And I'm just imagining there might be someone here today who's just not quite sure. You're not sure what to do with this thing, with this stone, the death and resurrection of Jesus. Here's what I would love for you to do today. If that's you, you're faith curious. You've got enough faith to be curious, to open your heart to the possibility that this is true, that I'm not just crazy. I want you to take that stone with you today. If you didn't get one on the way in, grab one on the way out. I want you to take that and just put it somewhere you'll see it. And every day as you see it, with as much faith as you can offer, would you just say, Jesus, I'm open to you today. That's all you got to say. And wait. Because I believe if you have the faith to be curious and the faith to say, Jesus, I'm open to you, He will show up. You will encounter Him in your life. And I would just ask one favor from you, if that's you today. Take that stone, put it somewhere. When you encounter Jesus, bring that rock back through those doors and tell me the story so I can celebrate with you. I believe you'll encounter Him if you seek Him. Would you stand with me this morning? The band is going to lead us in a response of worship this morning. Today on the high top tables in the back, there are permanent markers out. Maybe you would like to write something on your stone this morning. As you have reflected on this season of Good Friday, Resurrection Sunday, maybe you want to write, I believe. Maybe you want to write, there is hope. He's alive. Maybe you want to be real honest and just say, Jesus, I want to believe. There's no pressure in that this morning. That's going to be an individual response. But any time as the band leads us, you are free to go back and just take that step of faith to make it yours, to make the resurrection personal. And if you would like to receive Him today as your Lord and Savior, I would just invite you to pray with me as we close this morning. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we celebrate today that You are alive. That just as You encountered Mary some 2,000 years ago, You are still encountering us today. Some things are just too random for us to explain any other way but then to say, Jesus, You must be coming after me. So Lord, today as we look to You and the reality of Your resurrection, Lord, we want to experience Your life in us, Lord. Not just to know the doctrine, not just to have a decoration, but to have You living within us. And so, Lord Jesus, we look to You in faith today, and we believe that this story we celebrate today happened 2,000 some years ago, Lord, that You really were the Son of God. You lived a perfect life and died a sinner's death for me. Lord, I believe that happened. And today, on the third day, You rose from the grave victorious, resurrected King, defeating the powers of sin, death, and hell. And Lord Jesus, as we place our faith in You, we ask that You would forgive us. Lord, forgive me. And will You bring Your life to life in me? Lord Jesus, we need Your grace to live out that truth, Your teaching in our everyday life. But we believe You are faithful. Today, that I pray especially for that person who is faith curious, who's maybe looking at this story with a bit of uncertainty, God. I know You see them today and You're calling them by name too. But I pray for encounters that are unexplainable in the days ahead, Lord Jesus, that you would reveal yourself as you did to Mary in the garden. Would you show up through a text, through a visit, through a phone call, through a sight riding down the road, Lord Jesus? I just pray that you would be undeniable. Jesus, you alone are worthy, and we surrender our lives to you today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Say yes to him today, friends, for he is alive. You're free to respond this morning. You're free to worship with us.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.